Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. It's a Thursday. But spring is here. There are days it feels just like it. My man Max will be calling me. One of those things that so often I get on the phone with somebody, Lady A, Max, Junebug. I'm going to try to get him to Muscles, well, that's a usually do a show. Heck, we should have did a show. I said, hey, let me stop doing it right now. Sit here and talk on the phone. Let's do it on the radio. Guy who was close friend of hoarder boxes, hoarder people in the business, and we also in our prayers and thoughts out to his family. It's vision lost his mother-in-law. Talks in boxing and bring up some points. I like in conversations the things that come to mind that's on your mind and that I'm just gonna say you do in conversation. Yesterday or today, birthday, lady considered. I remember into a radio. There's a horde of different things come on. 106.7. Listen to that station today at a place I was working at. And a lot of things, you know. They say going to sleep and before you sleep, eating a banana, oatmeal, oatmeal, banana, certain cheese. I think I have it on it. It helps with sleeping. Advantageous to your body health, too. Kind of noodles. I think there's the cheese, though. I'm surprised by cheese. But oatmeal, I said, wow, you can, that's good to go to sleep and wake up with, huh? Banana, calcium and all. Banana's always been good. That's one of the top. Mostly. Waiting for Max to join us. But before we do, it's her birthday today. Remember her. Best than anybody else. Had a chance to meet us. Spent a little minute time with her. One and only. I remember years ago said that she had one voice that was considered the greatest listening voice, all singer of all times. Did we remember the accident family? But let's take a moment and remember the soul, the rights leader. Just, I got some quotes here too that my man sent me. You're going to read it, but ladies and gentlemen, just remember the late Aretha Franklin. And wow, I got a chance to meet her. And over the years, it was absolute best.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Network. My man Max is here. We open up, as always, and a close friend of hers. I remember when I heard her sing this song on her album. And I just remembered the rendition and the way she did it, you know. She opened up, "There's an old friend that I once heard say something that touched my heart, and it began this way." And that close friend she talked about, the greatest male gospel singer of all time, and one of the greatest male singers who was the conduit to gospel singers coming to R&B, the late great.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long.
But she heard my Jesus was passing by, so she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh!" The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh,
great Sam Cooke. And now it's time to stop and go and pray to the one only true God. So stop walking, stop talking, take off your hat, take a minute or two for the one you owe everything great and wonderful in your life. Thursday prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing this week. Grant us strength and energy to get through this Thursday as we seek your face, your comfort, and your rest. Keep us safely wrapped your loving arms. Bless us with your peace that passes all understanding. It's covered with the blood of Christ, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Coltrane, Davis, and we end that prayer. And we talked about Aretha Franklin, and my man who always sends me something about somebody's birthday and then some of their great quotations. Let's listen to a couple. Today's also Elton John's birthday. A couple of Aretha's. Remember the birthday of Aretha Franklin and Elton John today, and boxing buddy Jim Festa, and we did earlier to my nephew Charlie, nephew Majesty, and daughter Kayla, Mama Lampton Jr., from Boys Side, one of the great musicians of our, and Gil Figueroa, one of the teachers. You know, I remember Gil said he didn't feel that the disparity in pay between an athlete should be that bad. And I think we come to realize sometimes, but in years, we spend more time with our teachers than we do with anybody else. Second most populated people you spend time with when you grow up is your sisters and brothers. We're saying happy birthday to all. We're remembering Aretha. And happy birthday to Jim Festa. And let's use some of Aretha's quotes here. "Man who gets me is getting one hell of a woman." And he had another one that I liked here. "Own artist and always be confident in what you're doing. I'm going to be confident, but I will not be doing it." Then, great line, too. "Do not define a person on just one thing. You can't just forget all those wonderful and good things that a person has done because one thing didn't come off the way you thought it should come off." And then she had one, too, that I liked. I just said, well, this is that. "Being the queen is not all about singing and being a diva. It's not all about singing. It has much to do with your service to people and your social contributions to your community and your civic contributions as well." She was the foremost female civil rights advocate and leader. And this one I like, too. "It's the rough side of the mountain that's the easiest to climb. the smooth side doesn't have anything for you to hang on to. Remembering the late Aretha Franklin, and I liked, there was a nice quote, too, that Elton John said, all life is precious, and every day is a prize. Doc Staley, Sports Internet, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And without further ado, we're getting ready to bring in my man Max. Max, and we're going to open the show letting you know that you're in our prayers and thoughts to you and your family in the loss of your lovely mother-in-law. And thanks for being with us. And so often I'm on the phone with you, so, man, this should be a show. Max, we got a show. Hey. Let's go, baby.
All right. What's up, Mel? How's it going, buddy?
Okay.
All right.
You were
so,
asking me
about the funeral services for Marvelous Marvin.
Well, you know, I haven't heard anything. And then if you remember, it was a situation that the family had questioned, had asked for, you know, privacy. And sometimes that, you know, that gets me, Max. You know, you're not a private person. Patti LaBelle said something I'll never forget. She said, you know what? If you don't have time for autographs and you know, don't have time for your family, well, no, stop doing what you're doing. Stop singing.
Right.
Stop playing an instrument. Stop being an athlete. You know, stop doing what you're doing, and then they'll stop bothering you. And, you know,
right,
and me and you both know Ali. Ali always, I've said this on this show a million times, you know, if Ali, let me add the lay, had time for autographs, pictures, interview, then everybody else should. Because everybody else athletically, internationally is second. This is second. You know what I mean? Pelé and Ali, only two guys. Like I said, there's somebody in a hut in Africa who heard Ali and Pelé, as well as somebody out in California or Chicago that's heard of Ali and Pelé. You know, they're very – they're another athlete. I mean, and I'm talking about in the inception, because as great as Mike was, you know, a lot of people didn't know it wasn't until he joined the Dream Team that he really went international and when the game expanded. But, you know, the game expanded, and it took Mike with him. Ali and Pelé expanded their venues, and they took everybody else with them. I like that line, too.
Right.
That one. Yeah. And, you know, and we talked, too, about the fact that, once again, there's the rumor that, and yeah, I sent you the Lady A, our boxing, female boxing mind of our times, that time he had asked fans and friends to pay because Marvin supposedly was suffering complications from taking the vaccine there, Max.
Right, yeah. I did hear that, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, great champion. We talked about this. Marvin and Bernard Hopkins, two of the greatest champions of all time, but to me, not two of the greatest fighters of all times in their venue. Great champions, great fighters, but not, in my opinion, Max, in the vein of Ali Duran, Ray Robinson, Ray Leonard, and Mike Tyson.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking, too, about we had heard 2 days ago that Mike had turned down $25 million. Now, it's, you said, in May, Holyfield Tyson 3?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I'm May 29th in Miami.
Hey, you know, I'm just thinking too, Max, and without Don King.
And without Don King, how about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of Don doing anything lately, as of late. I know,
you
know he
Don
was
called
down
me about last year this time, and he's going to come back. And I made a comment, and I said, you know, Don, those of you, Doc Sandy Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network, you want to join us, 646-200-0373, 646-200-0373. I said, you know, Don, he said, come back to boxing. The boxing needs you, Don. I said, you know, without you, boxing, and, you know, me and Don, I said, the boxing's not fucked up without you, Don. Boxing is totally fucked up. You know, he laughed and everything.
Right.
Greatest moment of all time. And
right.
What are some of the greatest fights of all time? The Rumble in the Jungle, the Thriller in Manila, you know. He, you know, he always gave you I never forget Bob Lee Jr., son of the man who brought the IBF into prominence.
IBF,
the great Lee.
They went
and
out of Newark, I believe.
Yeah, right. And I remember.
And they had a good
the
guy
only,
with them, Al Lucas, if you remember that name.
Yeah, Lucas. The only boxing organization now that you weigh in on the day of the fight and you have to have the weight. You know, no nonsense. In fact, if I, may not be still, but they had the first female president of a boxing organization. And I remember Robert Lee, I see him rushing, you know. I said, Rob, where are you going? It was the first fight, too. I said, Rob, is it the first fight? He said, yeah, I know, but it's a title fight. First fight on the card is a title fight.
Wow.
I'll never forget, you know, because, you know, with Vegas, Don used to fly continuously of Latin and black press out. Don understood
right.
the power and the strength
yes,
of the Latin press. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I remember
yes,
I see Bob now. I said, Bob, where are you going, man? You know, because I was going to – I said, the first fight. He said, no, Doc. He said, but it's a title fight. Bob, the great Larry Hardesty on ESPN, now the Jackie Robinson of ESPN radio, and was doing his show on Mickey Mantle's, Bill Lederman, great, who once had Mickey Mantle, mm-hmm. what a great guy he was, and he had a tremendous respect, love for Larry. In fact, he made sure, invited us to the party that the Lakers had when they won their third and final championship with Kobe and Shaq. And they were doing a show. Larry had won the IBF Sportscaster of the Year back-to-back, and then the legendary great Marion Borkin, and Larry's too, the guy that he so often was for us. And I'd asked Bob Lee, I said, Bob, you know, we're on the air now. When you get a chance, let us know who won the IBF Sportscaster Year Award. He said, Doc, I don't know. I said, yeah, but, you know, we're going to be another 15, 20 minutes. Now that we can announce it. He said, okay. And then so I said, Bob, do you you got the winner for us? He said, yeah, Doc. I said, who is it? He said, it's you, Doc. So I won the award after Marion
wow.
Carried the torch for them, and it was announced on Larry's show at the late, great restaurant, Mickey Mantle's. And remember, they had the fair down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and Robert Lee Jr., a great young man, as was his dad. You know, supposedly, you know, I think you heard this too, Max,
mm-hmm.
that Don King, in refusal to go to court against Robert Lee Sr., was no longer granted a license in Atlantic City. You heard that story?
Yeah, I believe, yeah. I remember some rumblings. I remember they got caught up in something.
And Don said he wasn't going to do it. And ironically, as we tell that story, you know, it was the former president was the co-promoter with Don King. In fact, that's the one venue that he was quite successful in, you know, boxing mm-hmm. along with Only in America. I love America with Don King.
Don King. Only in America.
Yeah, Only in America, Don King. You were talking so much, we were talking about boxing. You said you kind of taken back Tyson Holyfield, two legendary names of boxing, and, you know, people still want to see him.
Sure. Why not? Why not? Yeah. I think it's great. I think it'd be great for boxing.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's going to be. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be. We're talking, too, Max, because another thing we were talking about. You were talking about,
Errol Spence
Marvin.
And,
Marvin,
yeah.
Yeah, it was Spence.
And Crawford.
Crawford, yeah. Well, somebody was saying Crawford was doing some talking. They said, "What's he talking about? He's ducking."
Sean
Porter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always
Could
say
be a dangerous
is,
fight.
Could
it be a dangerous fight?
Yeah. You know what? And I'm glad you said it because that reminded me when you said that the last time. I remember, Alexis Guerrero said something before he fought Aaron Pryor. And I remember at the press conference, in fact, I got the picture standing next to him, me and him, and he says, you know what? He said, you know, in boxing, you can get killed going in the ring at your best. You know, it would make you think how anybody would go in you know, the boxing with a half a tank of gas. But I remember him saying that. We talked about Marvin, won a great middle 7 years as the middleweight champion of the world, Spence. Crawford, that's not going to come off right now. But I still think Crunch is right. And we talked, too, about how Ray, we talked about Ollie Dunlap, one of the great personalities.
Yeah, Ollie Dunlap, wow.
Great
dream,
yeah, Ollie, I know Ollie was, he was exchanged Christmas card. Ollie was up in, living in Canada for a while.
Okay.
I remember I was working with Don King. Don King had me working with Tony Tucker camp, and remember Ollie was teasing everybody. To me, thank God, it didn't matter because I was going back to my job as a cop. He said, well, I guess you guys can't be looking for jobs. But and you talked about when Ray made changes in his corner, Ollie Dunlap was always there.
Always there. Yeah. Yeah. He lighten a load on that second time. After the second Tommy fight.
What did he do the second Tommy fight? Oh, yeah.
I think he lightened up his load.
Second Tommy fight. Yeah. And then we talked, too, how his brother Roger was instrumental in the second fight with Duran, because Roger had told Ray, you know, he has this propensity to blow up between fights.
Yeah.
And I had heard that he had cut training camp a week early because of having to meet the proposed date for the fight. And another week. I thought a lot of people know he wasn't, like, way behind in that fight either. You know, it looked like it was a lopsided fight.
I remember, I can't think of the guy's name, but he had a special trainer that would help him get that weight down because he had such a I don't know if you remember, Mark Breland had a rubber match with Marlon Stallard. No, wait.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rubber match. It wasn't the second Stallard. That was in Vegas. Breland was on a card, and Duran was the main event, and it was a doubleheader in Atlantic City. And the guy was telling us what he had to do to get Roberto down. He would have him running twice a day. I mean, that's how bad it was, just to get the weight down.
But was that Freddie Brown?
I can't think of the. I don't want to be misquoted, but I can't think the guy's name.
Okay. Was it the Latin trainer that he had?
Panamanian. I don't know who. But
yeah, I know you're talking about his face now. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you think about it now, back then he wasn't at Block Talk Radio. Justin Garvey. Max, what's your last name, Max?
That is my last name, Derek Maxey. First name Derek.
Really? Because that's Maxey. Funny.
Everybody calls me.
No, you like me, Derek, because people for years thought Stanley was my first name, so they would always call me Stanley. And then I said, actually, my first name I said is Melvin. They would still call me Stanley, Derek. You know, remind me of the great Gloria Gaynor. She used to talk about her husband, and they said, "What's your husband's name?" He said, "Well, he has two names. His name is Linwood Simon." And she always said, "You know, I'm the singer and stuff." But that's, once people get to know Linwood, everybody's talking about hanging with Linwood, the great Linwood Maxwell Simon. Yeah, Derek, Max, you was talking about, and we talked too about how he got a big in weight, and you talk about how disciplined both Marvin and Bernard Hopkins are.
Yes, very disciplined. Yeah, they wouldn't let their weight go too far. No, they wouldn't let that, especially Bernard. Bernard was very disciplined.
But Bernard was two things. He showed the longevity of a disciplined prototype in the sense of disciplined fighter, a fighter who knew the sweet science. It had to the rules and regulations, you know, as he had to. You know, it's like the falcon may be a bird of prey, but it can't fly with the golden eagle and the bald eagle. But you know, it's still a bird of prey. And he was a great champion. And also, you know, had a lot of civil rights comments and stuff. I think the best he ever was, Max, was the 94th Kelly Pavlik in Atlantic City. That
Kelly
was the best Bernard Hopkins ever saw.
Yeah, I remember that name, Kelly Pavlik, Yeah.
Well, because Kelly had beat Jermaine Taylor. And I remember Jermaine dropped him. We thought the fight was done. I think he dropped him twice, too.
Yeah, but Jermaine always would get caught at the end. Always.
Yeah.
He was very vulnerable.
That was the beginning of it. And what I remember about that
was,
he was
very vulnerable.
I remember one of Lennox Lewis's corner guys was there talking with us at ringside. And he said, you know, one of the things you're doing, he said, if you get Lennox mad, you step on his feet. And Lennox don't want you stepping on his feet. He said, you step on Lennox's feet, man, he said, you're in trouble. And then he said, Emmanuel told Maine, don't go straight back against Pavlik, circle back. And as he said that, Jermaine started going straight back, and Pavlik dropped him. But he had said, you know, Emmanuel told him, you know, Don't go straight back. Circle back. How much we miss Emmanuel. Wow.
Oh,
and,
man.
One
of a kind. One of
the great human beings of all time. One of the great human beings of all time. Doc Stanley Sports is there. Blog Talk Radio and Trusted Government Network, talking with Derek Maxey. You learn something every day. And we also were talking Crawford not fighting. A tough fight. Taylor Crawford against Sean Porter, who I always said is, Max, is a football player masquerading as a boxer.
As a boxer, yeah.
Yeah.
He got power. You got to keep him at the center of the ring, Porter.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to jab him and keep him at the center. Forget about ropes.
Yeah, he also has his own little clothing line.
Oh, really?
Him and his dad. Yeah, he's one of the guys. He's one of those guys too that has his dad in his corner as they try to knock that as being a situation of of negativity. You know,
right.
They say all in the corner and all that kind of stuff. But he's got his dad in his corner too. Doc Stanley, Sports Talk, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Government Network. Derek Max, all you have been calling you something else, and trying to get some else to join us here too. And we're talking about how Durant just. The lack of discipline, but I was interjecting the fact that it wasn't so much the lack of discipline, is that he was such a star globally and so much in Panama that it was just hard for him in the case of, his notoriety, and he's sitting here and he's a meal bear. But I think he's unquestionably the greatest Latin fighter that ever lived, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the greatest Latin fighter that's ever lived. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Government Network. And you talked about some things, too. Let's talk about your resume. It's extensive, man. You were there at the Chavez-Taylor first fight. And, I just didn't understand. As I was kind of told, Seal said that when he looked up and saw Duva and them coming in the ring, that's why he stopped the fight. But I remember... Dude was saying as Taylor went out there for that last round, go out there and get him. I think, I can go out there and get him. I mean, you got Mays, you got Aaron, you got McCovey coming to place. I'm not throwing him no fastballs. Yeah, I'll walk him, man, but I'm not throwing no fastballs. I remember the second fight, I was at that fight live by the grace of God, and DK promoted that one, had us all out there. I had told people, had Hector Camacho fought Chavez. The only two times Camacho would have saw Chavez is when they introduced him before the fight and when they raised Camacho's hand after the fight. A lot of people don't know that Chavez Camacho was made with Duke Durden. Remember my man Duke?
Duke Durden. That's right.
Duke Durden. Duke told Don, canceled the fight, told Harold Wesson, who was and still is the only black matchmaker in history of Madison Square Garden, told Harold, hey, keep that Puerto Rican away from my fight until he gets slower.
You got to slow him up. Yeah, Hector, at 130, forget about it.
Yeah.
Hector, 39 Hector was a whole different series, but no, not at 130.
At 130, he was an artiste. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the thing about all those guys like him, Marvin, Crawford, they're such outstanding fighters, and then the fact that they're left-handed really even adds more woes to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bad enough that they're a Maserati, but you know what I mean? But they're a Maserati that just come off the line. And we're talking about John Tate. A lot of people forgot. Doc Sandy's wasn't the Block Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. We forgot, John Tate was on that 76 Olympic team that they had the Streets Brothers, Leo Randolph, five gold medal winners.
Correct.
Yeah, our good friend Mark feels that his Olympic team was better. I believe they won just as many or more gold medals, didn't they?
I believe so.
Yeah. But they don't get the
well. Yeah, well, Breland fought.
That
was in Montreal in '76. Breland and them fought in Los Angeles.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think we got to get Mark on the show. I think Mark talked about the fact that they won just as many gold medals and didn't get the publicity. But then again, you look at the
but
fact.
But also, Doc, you got to take in accordance. No Russians, no Cubans. Remember, 84, all that boycott stuff, because in '80, the U.S. boycotted them for going into Afghanistan. Remember, it was in Moscow. So then,
I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to Sports in Depth, you hear things here, you don't hear anything any place else in the world. And as I put in my thing, and with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is two, the world of depth. It was here on Sports in Depth that it was Sea Wings, the retired police captain Cedric Raymond's, announced to the world, we were the first one, that Bin Laden had been taken out by the Obama administration. Yeah. And you're right. The the ratifications and the circumstances of the times. It's a lot different hitting a Grand Slam home run off Sandy Koufax, you know, than it is off of Jerry Kuzman. You know, it's a big difference. Big difference. Yeah. But but Mark always talked about that though. What a great team they had. Now I'm gonna try to see if I can get Gilberto Ortiz. You know, Doc Stanley's Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, and Trust in God Network. Don't anybody move. Gilberto got a minute or two here to join us. Hopefully, if not, I'll try to catch. Try to go to Brazil and get my buddy to come back with us. Who was talking about Mike Tyson?
Fantastic.
Hey, June, you got a few minutes?
Actually. Not really. What's up?
I just wanted to talk. You could give me some of your thoughts on boxing. You know, the Crawford and.
I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll call you back in a little bit, though.
Okay. Look for you less than a good 10, 15 minutes, maybe?
Nah, Doc, I can't.
Okay. Tivor. I want you. Okay. Tivor. He can't join us today. I'm going to try to go to Brazil, though. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Will Network. How do you see Tyson Holyfield? You lean into Holyfield, huh, Max?
I'm not leaning towards him. I just think, Mike, combinations is what make fights. And I think he paired better when he was with Rooney. Personal opinion, of course.
Well, no, but, I tell you what, it's what Harold Wesson always said, that, you know, the thing that made Cooney, he knew the custom model system.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
And if I'm not mistaken, the late Victor Valley trained him, because I remember meeting Cooney with Billy Costello. He trained both of them at Gleason's at the time.
Yeah. Victor Valley.
Victor Valley, God bless. Yeah. I remember.
The late.
But I always, it goes to like, I'll give you another example. Donald Curry. You know what I mean? You had the Dave Gormans. They just had and really, Gorman got the credit, but it was a lot more Paul. I think his name was Paul Reyes, if I'm not mistaken. He was the main trainer. I mean, you know, so you had these guys, and you know, sometimes chemistry is all about chemistry. See,
it was a thing Al always talked about was the situation that Rooney knew the 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 6. He knew the comment. You know, he had the blueprint. You know,
he did. And not even
that,
but
he knew the blueprint.
Amount of respect on Mike's part too. The luggage.
Oh yeah, well,
you know,
Rooney
what I'm saying. Yeah, and Mike, and like I said, see, anybody that gets in with Mike is going to be pure strength. All right, Mike, you know what you got to do. You got it. You know, strength. But Rooney had it where, this is skill.
Hey, listen. Forget the headhunting. Let's double on the jab.
Right.
Work to the
correct
body. You know, 7,
correct,
8, 9. Then we go
correct
there. Then later down the five. You know, because, hey, what's that great line? Work the body and the head will fall.
On a podcast. Let me call you right back.
Okay. Yeah. Work the body and,
correct,
and the, work the body and head will
correct
fall. Yeah. And not only did Rooney have the car, he had the keys to the car. That's the big thing. He had the keys
right
to the car.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he had keys to the car. Yeah, I think those two work beautiful together.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Peter?
How you doing?
Yeah, are you in your room?
I'm in my room, yeah.
Okay, can you talk Doc Stanley Sports in the Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Go with Derek live from Fort Lazy. We'll talk a little boxing, Peter, and I got my man Derek Derek Maxey here, and Derek, Peter, the other day, and real Peter, real quickly, since we got you here, and, you know, what Peter was saying, I've said this, Max, redundantly, and Mike Tyson is the last great heavyweight champion we're going to have in history of boxing, in mankind. And Peter, the other day, also added to the fact that he thinks Mike was the most most devastating heavyweight, well, no question, of our time. I mean, he could look. Peter, we're saying this for a minute or two. We want to say this to you real quick. You know, Peter had a birthday the other day. And so live here from New York City, our New York studios, and going across the world, Peter Mack, we're all once again, because one day is not enough for you. Stevie Wonder's talking for us, man. Stevie, can you say so for... And Peter, would you join in? And you talked about, you know, you concurred, but you felt Mike was the most devastating of the heavyweights from a power position that ever entered the ring. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think there's a few things, Doc. Thank you for the birthday greetings. I appreciate that. I think there's several things. I mean, I used to look on and wonder in watching the tail of the tape, you know, between Mike Tyson and the guys he was fighting, 3 stone heavier, 10 inches longer reach, et cetera, you know, if you weighed it just on statistics, you'd never put these two guys in the ring. And then the next thing, the sheer power, the ferocity, the majesty of Tyson was incredible. I mean, he was, for me, the most exciting heavyweight of all time. I mean, Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time, without question. You know, I don't question that at all. But Tyson, for sheer entertainment, was amazing. I think something else we have to measure as well, you know, I often have this discussion about Pelé, the great Brazilian footballer, and Lionel Messi. We, you know, Tyson was maybe the last mass public available free media fighter at heavyweight level of our time.
No question.
You know, so the level of access when pay-per-view came in to the guys that we had been brought up in on free, we call it in Britain, council TV, free TV, you know, we were brought up with all these legends, you know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar, all these guys, you know, and we saw them free on television. You know, after Tyson was sort of midway between free TV and paid TV, and he was probably the last guy. And we should never underestimate the level of exposure we have to personality. It will affect the amount of our belief. We only need to look at advertising for that sake. And I guess we've got to measure guys like ourselves of a certain age. You know, we grew up with these legendary figures. But the exposure to the modern boxer, unless you're somebody who has a particular interest in boxing, you're probably not going to be up in Europe at 4 o'clock in the morning tuning in and paying to watch that boxer, where you and I watch these boxers for free.
You know, that's remarkable. Back then, it's supposed to be Black Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network, and I always said, you hear things here that you don't hear any place else. And once again, validating that line I like to use with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc Iconic Posse, Sports Endeavor to the World. And you make a tremendous point that, you know, Max, that a lot of people don't think to get up that early. To get up that early and watch is free is one thing. To get up that early and pay for it
is another.
Yeah. Third, Peter.
You
know, and
well,
I remember,
you know what that makes me think of? Ali and Joe Frazier, the fight, the first one. They said Ireland, you know, they was going back and forth in Ireland with the North and the South, and everything went for that night. Everybody was peaceful, you know, because of the time schedule.
And my friend, the renowned international promoter, Desu Cartamaccio Jr., a very well football player, talked about, and I was, you know, because from the States here, Peter, we weren't getting it free, and I remember him saying that the first fight ever shown in Brazil, having to be free, was the Rumble in the Jungle. And but Peter, you brought a tremendous point too, that a lot of people haven't seen. I kind of thought about that. Tyson, despite the necessity to now pay, people were still willing to pay. Peter,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely, and it shows the appeal of boxing, you know, on a worldwide level. I mean, the magnitude of these big events, the draw by so many people. But at the same time, the audience proportionately is minuscule compared to what it was when boxing was available in general on free TV throughout the world. Now, I know there were very clever and innovative and ahead of their time promoters where the major fights from the early 70s and so on were limited in terms of free television and you had to pay to go to locations to see them on screens and so on, etc. And there's been variations of that over the years. But in general, worldwide, these fights were available right up until probably Tyson was the last guy, and he probably bridged those
tremendous point you bring up, Peter. That, you know, sometimes, you know, it's right in front of your eyes, and yet that great line from that great Tom Cruise movie, Eyes Wide Shut, and because the Doc Stanley's supposed to be a Blog Talk Radio and Trust and Garvin. They're live from your New York studios and from our Brooklyn studios, Derek Max, and live from our beloved Fortaleza, Brazil, Sir Peter McClain. Pete, what happened, you know, you had Closed Circuit that came in, and Holyfield talked about something. As a guy that you met, Peter, and we both know too, Derek, Holyfield talked about, and it validates the abundance of free television, and he said, you know, the one thing he wanted to do was to get on free television. And as I think about it, Sir Peter and DM, I remember you could watch boxing on Channel 2, free, Channel 4, free, Channel 7, free, and Channel 5 got in on the deal. Livingston Bramble beat Ray Boom Boom Mancini on Channel 5. And Channel 5 was the fourth of the free stations, because I remember hearing the first time I ever heard the Rocky theme was on a Sunday on a free fight. And
what
I remember, too,
how
ABC Wired World of Sports would do, Peter, they would say 4 o'clock, Ali and Carl Mildenberger. Okay, so you tune in at 4. But Ali Mildenberger wasn't going to come on until about 5:30 because they had the auto race that they would show you. Okay, and then they would go to the ski jump, you know, from the Alpines. So then at 5 o'clock, it's like going to a live fight. But instead of having pre-fighters for the prelim, they gave you horse racing, they gave you skiing, they gave you bowling, and you weren't going to leave because you want to see Ali. You know, you want to see mainly in that days it was Ali. Ali was the guy carrying it, you know, or Joe Frazier. So you didn't turn away. But you brought up a tremendous point, Peter, where there was the, and if you think about it too, Max, the interjection of Closed Circuit TV, and yet free TV knocked out Closed Circuit TV because Ali Frazier 1 was on Closed Circuit. But then after that, I don't believe Foreman and Ali wasn't on Closed Circuit, but it was such a huge fight, Peter, that I remember the night of the fight because I was getting out of the academy the next day, and I, by the grace of God, well, great things come. I met Satchel Mitch. But it was, and Peter, on 42nd Street, they had about 8 movie theaters. The fight was so huge that you had 2 or 3 movie theaters that were showing the Ali Foreman reruns all day long. It just showed you the magic of Ali, but the brought up here, Mac, and I think about it, Closed Circuit faded out, was gone when free TV came in, and now, Peter, you brought up the other part, Phase 3, where pay-per-view phased out free TV.
We live in a very commercialized world, and, you know, we can look back and sort of romanticize, I suppose, the times of sort of free TV. It's a difficult balance. I mean, you know, it's a commercial world. We need to accept that. At the same time, we also need to think about, you know, the socioeconomic challenges of...
Peter?
Right.
Okay, sometimes we get lost in the connection. Peter,
you know,
Doc,
I'm here. I'm smiling because I'm thinking of something you said. You mentioned Bramble and Mancini.
Mancini.
That first fight. That was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I remember that
night. The fight was in Buffalo.
And I'm going to tell you, Doc, do you remember?
We got to get Peter back. Us, Peter.
Okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go
do
ahead,
you
Max.
Remember who fought before them?
We lost you for a little while. Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Oh,
yeah,
Doc,
we just
do you
having,
remember who fought on that undercard? Johnny Buffett defended his title against Donald Curry stablemate, a guy named Gene Hatcher, and lost. He got mad. I think Gene Hatcher fought him dirty and got him mad where he tried to slug it out with him, and Bumpus got knocked out.
Oh, Bump City Bumpus?
Yeah, WBA junior middleweight, junior welterweight title, 139 pounds. Yeah.
You know, you still with us?
I am.
No, don't worry. Yeah, yeah. I remember, you know what, the Bump City. And you know what, it's Marcus, I have a picture.
Bump City, yep. I remember
Bump
that.
Bump City, and I have a picture of Mark and Bumpus. He had to be at the Garden that he was fighting. And you're right. But in fact, that Channel 5 fight was the first time I'd ever seen a fight on Channel 5. Channel 4 and 7, I think, were the big ones, or 2 and 7, and then 4 was in. That was the first time I'd ever seen a fight on Channel 5, and you're right, from Buffalo.
And Mancini had so much pressure on him, on himself, because it was a high-volume Italian crowd in Buffalo. And he told Bramble, you will not beat me in Buffalo. Yes, I remember, yes.
Ah.
Wow, that was a classic.
I remember seeing it over my friend 1-800 Fred, Freddie Rodriguez, because he turned to Channel 5. I said, "What a fight on Channel! I can't leave." And it was Ray Boone,
right.
Mancini's first fight at the Garden, he was outstanding. I remember when he fought Aguayo.
Peter? That put him on the map.
Yeah,
put him on the map.
Ray
but
was
I remember,
always a CBS fighter anyway.
Who was
remember,
that?
He did a lot of
Aguayo?
CBS stuff.
Aguayo?
No, not Aguayo, but Mancini.
Oh, Mancini.
Because you remember the father?
And father the big
was
story was him.
Inside. He put
yeah, yeah,
Youngstown,
and also he
him
was,
and Harry Arroyo, they put Youngstown, Ohio on the map.
And they always talked about his dad. And
yeah,
I remember
always.
When he fought Aguayo, and Aguayo beat him. And Aguayo
mm-hmm.
told him, hey, man, you got a great future. I'm going to help you. But he's basically saying, but I'm not going to help you by you getting my title.
That's right, yeah.
Are you getting my title,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you want a piece of the steak, I cut you up a little piece, but you're getting the main course there. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. We've got Sir Peter McLean live from Fortaleza and Derek Mackey, our man in our Brooklyn studios. We're talking boxing. And, Peter, I just remembered we were talking and then I had Max. I said, man, let me get Peter, let me get Max. And –
wow,
and I think it validates, and you have validated it, Peter, but you just brought up a point that it was, and you know what, when Tyson and Don King had a dispute, HBO, I remember DK said they walked away from $100 million bill. I think, Peter, and Derek, I want you to help me here,
right?
And people won't say that, and Tim Smith disagreed with me. Don King made HBO boxing. Seth Abraham said, and he talked about that, they had a little closet, basically, office. And Don King, remember he had the offices over at the Rockefeller Center, Derek?
No, I don't. I only remember 64. I think it was like 64th Street.
Oh, yeah, okay. That was his other one. But he opened up first.
I remember that.
Well, actually, he got in the boxing first, Sir Peter and Max, working with Madison Square Garden and Sonny
mm-hmm.
Werblin. And I remember they had the press
wow.
conference at a country club, and I remember hearing something that both – Richard Cicchetti, the late trainer, the great trainer
yeah.
of Larry Holmes, and also
Richard
the
Cicchetti,
late
wow.
great heavyweight fighter, Jerry Coy, they both were interviewed. And I happened to catch both interviews, Peter and Derek. And in both interviews, Corey.
Doc.
Huh?
Hi, Doc.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, yesterday was the anniversary of the 24th of March, 1975, of the fight between Chuck Webner and Muhammad Ali.
Wow!
I remember this for one particular reason. to the story you told me, Doc. And I don't know if you want to tell it or you want me to tell it, the story of the famous negligee.
Yes, yes, yes. You want to tell it or you want me to tell it?
Whichever you prefer, but you're the man who told me this story, that the night of that fight, or the night before that night, all the boxers were staying in the same hotel.
Yeah, that's something I found out when I worked with Don King, that they're all based in the same proximity, you know, for meetings and for press conferences. You go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, so Chuck Wendler said to his wife, tomorrow night, put a negligee, a beautiful negligee on the bed and said, tomorrow night, you're going to be sleeping with a heavyweight champion of the world. As we know, Muhammad Ali won the fight, and apparently Chuck went back to his room, and that night his wife was wearing the negligee and said, what's happening? Is he coming here or am I going there?
It's a story that Chuck Proud, I first heard that story, Derek, from Chuck Wendler. Chuck Wendler was at Mickey Mantle's, great guy. You know, Rocky is based on Chuck Wendler, on the Chuck Wendler Muhammad Ali fight. Rocky is based on, I don't know, a lot of people know that, but Rocky 1 is based on Ali Wendler. And Wendler didn't knock Ali, he stepped on Ali's toe. And like he said, he comes in, throws a negligee on the bed, tells his wife, you're going to be wearing that when you're sleeping with the heavyweight champ of the world. And after the fight, when they go back to the room, she says, well, as you're coming up here, I'm going down there. And it's a story that Chuck Wendler proudly and redundantly tells that story. And it's just a great story. And what I remember with Corey and Jacchetti, when Don got into boxing, they said that Don King was the first guy ever that promised him X amount of money, and they got it. And I had heard from the great photographer, Arturo Leconte, that Don was crawling on the carpet and told by the powers that be, you promised Peter McClain $50,000 and you promised Derek Mackey $50,000, but you don't give him $50,000. But you don't give him $50,000. And I remember it was in the press room in Madison Square Garden, college basketball game. Don's world had fallen apart. Ernie Shavers had knocked out Jimmy Ellis. He had, Ray Anderson was beat by Jorge Ahumada, so he didn't get the title shot, as Ahumada got the title shot against Bob Foster. Jerry Corey knocked out Ernie Shavers, and Jeff Merritt, who was up-and-coming heavyweight, I love him like a son. He's sweet as candy. He didn't pan out. Don had no more fighters. We were coming to the press room in Madison Garden, college basketball game, and I come and I said, Don walks in, and I said, hey, Don, I didn't know you liked college basketball. I never forget what he said. Mel, sitting my man, have a piece of paper here that will guarantee Muhammad Ali and George Foreman $5 million to fight in Zaire. He said, I'm going to talk to the people right now. When he walked out that door, that's when he became the legendary Don King. The Garden was, Jerry Corey was upset because Ali had proposed to fight him in the Garden for $2 million. But the late, great John Francis Xavier Condon, the greatest boxing mind, PR man, history boxing. And here was the guy, like Miles Davis told Ray Robinson it was time to stop. It was John who told Ali. And John said, well, Mel, we understand. You know, he's got a shot at the title. He's going to make $5 million. He'll come back to us. And people understand. Until that time, Peter, until that time, Max, no man had ever regained the heavyweight champion of the world after he lost it, with the exception of Floyd Patterson. And Jerry Eisenberg told this story. After the fight in Zaire, we were in the press room doing a giant football game, and he said they were all through writing their stories. Ali was sitting there looking at the river, and he turned and said to them, he said, gentlemen, you have no idea what this means to me. Ali became only the second man to ever win the title back and became the first man to win it 3 times. And like I said, John Condon, and me too. I remember Bill Cosby. I asked Cosby, who do you like in Foreman, Ali? And he later denied. He said, the lights will go out. I said, well, for Foreman? He said, no, for Ali. And John Condon said, like me, he said, Mel, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And he did. But the realization was that he was only the second man who, once you lost that weight, you never got it back again. But he was only the second man to do it. And the first man to do it 3 times. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. We're talking boxing. We're talking Tyson. We're talking Ali. Sir Peter McClain live from Fortaleza said, and you sent them today too, Peter. You had sent me that thing about Redemption. And so the state of Ceará and that city was the first in Brazil to negate slavery. Am I correct, Peter?
Yeah, it's interesting, Doc. You know, I mean, Brazil, there's no official figures for slavery. You know, there's research that's carried out, but Brazil apparently took 6 million, well, the Portuguese took 6 million men and women from Africa and enslaved them in Brazil, the largest amount of people enslaved in the whole of the Americas. And it's a terrible legacy, of course. The indigenous Brazilian people were also forced into slavery as well. And today marks the anniversary of back in 1884, where Ceará State in the north of Brazil, which Fortaleza is the capital of, abolished slavery and became the first state in Brazil to do so. And it was 4 years later in 1888 when Brazil as a nation abolished slavery. It's a very interesting story.
Hold on, Peter. Two points here. Redemption was the first city, and you're saying something here that's so remarkable. As he dovetailed, Derek, on Juneteenth, the Emancipation Proclamation, and then 2.5 years later, they finally find out in Galveston, Texas, that slavery is no longer in America. And you're just saying, too, and ladies and gentlemen, once again, you hear and learn things here, you hear no place else, and you're hearing this live from Brazil. And I always said, Peter and Derek, that Brazil is availability to replace slaves quickly and redundantly made them able, I feel, Peter, to hold on to slavery so long, because if they needed some slaves, they'd get them back, what, a month, a couple of weeks, as opposed to having, you know, if you were in Virginia or New York, it had the number one slave market in America, and people don't know that New York City had contemplated succeeding from the Union behind the slavery deal. Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, New York had the number one slave market on the East Coast and had contemplated succeeding from the Union to keep their slaves. Yeah. Continue, gentlemen. Go ahead, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The shortest point between Europe and between Africa and the Americas is the tip of Brazil in Bahia. And
yeah. The Jamestown of Brazil.
That became a route to enslave many African men and women. And it's a terribly sad history. And one of the positive things here in Fortaleza, the city of Fortaleza, when the Portuguese ships arrived here to try and sell the men and women of Africa into slavery, there was a man, a fisherman here. They nicknamed him Dragon do Mar, which means Dragon of the Sea. And he said, this isn't right. We shouldn't accept this. We can't accept this. We can't allow these people to come here and sell people. Some of the local people here in Brazil, with very little money, they brought their money together and bought out of slavery many of the African men and women on the ships, and then refused to let the Portuguese sell the men and women into slavery here. And there's a square called Praça de Dragon do Mar, the Square of Dragon do Mar, the Square of Dragon of the Sea, in celebration of this man. And the longest street in Fortaleza is called Avenida da Abolição, which means the Avenue of Abolition, which runs through like a vein of principle, runs through the whole city to mark why the city is called Terra de Luz, Land of the Light, because they had a vision of this being an unacceptable practice and were prepared to do something about it way before others considered the same fact.
Man, you know what? That there adds an even deeper affection, love, and respect for our beloved Fortaleza and Ceará. Dr. Sandy Sports, the Blog Talk Radio and Trusted Guardware Network. It's Sir Peter McLean, birthday man, and Derek Mackey, who we for years we thought Mac was his first name. And, you know, we have a holiday here it's becoming a national holiday. It was for so many years in the South. And, you know, Mac, I remember my first mentor, the late Dr. Frank Bannister, told me there were so many people who left the South and came North because they could blatantly, redundantly continue their racist mindsets and theories. And he was New York City, you know, Connecticut. And, we have a day here, Juneteenth, Galveston, Texas, the Emancipation Proclamation, which freed mostly everybody, but in totality, but supposedly it was the mark of the end of slavery. But there
Correct.
Was in Texas, and you know, Mac, they said, you know, there were people fleeing into Texas so they continue this process, but somewhat on what you were saying, Peter, after Lincoln had implemented the Emancipation Proclamation, well, it wasn't until almost 2.5 years later that in Texas, I mean, you would thought they were on another planet, that finally that area became, I got conscious or aware, or more so the law was implemented that slavery was done. So it was a 2.5 year period after, and Juneteenth is, because it was June 19th, 1865, strawberry soda, which became my favorite soda outside my beloved cream soda, is renowned because that was the beverage that they drank along with the barbecues and the foods that they ate at the barbecue. And the red soda symbolized the freedom of the blood. That's why they drink the red soda, the strawberry soda. And usually if I'm in Brazil with you at that time, Peter, I'll bring a strawberry soda for you to have with me. But it's so similar to somewhat to what you're saying. And you know, because I there were a lot of people, Peter, who were not conscious of Juneteenth. I mean, I didn't know about Juneteenth, Mac, till about maybe 15 years ago. What about you, Mac? When were you cognizant of Juneteenth? Mac? Derek? Did we lose Derek? Okay, yeah, Derek left us. Okay, yeah. Okay, so Peter's me and you then. Yeah, they had a situation here where the law was implemented. And everybody didn't know, and they went to this part of Texas in the lower part of the country, and then it was acknowledged and it was decreed that slavery officially was over. So the reality of it is that it wasn't in January of 1863, but it was in June in Galveston, Texas. In 1865, June 19, 1865, that slavery was officially stopped in the United States, Peter. And your history, and I love so much, you know, you had, as no, Peter has a propensity, which I love, on birthdays of famous people sending me their birth dates, their itinerary, and some of the great sayings. And, you know, two of them I like with Aretha, you know, the man who gets me is getting a hell of a woman. But I like the one, too, where she said, you know, it's the rough side of the mountain that's easy to climb because you have things to hold on, because there's nothing to hold on the smooth side of the mountain. What a tremendous quote. Your thoughts on that one, Peter? Oh, okay, we're going back and forth. Okay, we're connecting. We're trying to reconnect Peter with us. Yes.
I know we've been talking about this. We've talked about this before, but I'm a big admirer of W.B.E. Du Bois,
mm-hmm.
who probably was, for me, the strongest opponent of slavery and the strongest voice for the civil rights movement in the early part of the last century. You know,
mm-hmm.
born in the late 1800s and went on to live into the 1900s. And he was a fantastic, amazing guy. I would encourage anyone who doesn't know him or hasn't read about him. He's an amazing sociologist, an amazingly objective man, and an amazing voice. But I think, as we've talked before, Doc, you know, the importance of Muhammad Ali as a global social figure
mm-hmm.
of change is perhaps one of the most, certainly one of, if not the most dramatic influencers of history, or modern history, because apart from being the greatest boxer, the most powerful man on the planet, he was a handsome guy, he was an orator beyond comparison, and he also had a stage, a global stage, to convey messages that others never had before him.
Tremendous point.
And he, you know, the impact of all of those things coming together was a unique moment in history.
Did you talk
about
that?
He was the right man at the right time with the right power, the right principles, and, you know, this remarkably charismatic man that united so many people across the world and articulated the need to change society. It was a unique moment in time, a unique individual, and, just something that I believe history remembers him well for, and I hope it always will do, because he's deserving of everything that we can possibly say about him.
Yeah, and using quotations from him, and the one that people like is, you know, I never looked down on the people that looked up to me. And service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. I love the one that kind of joined together. The great Roberto Clemente had too. Anytime you have an opportunity to help somebody and you don't do it, you're wasting your time here on earth. And he said, I am my brother's keeper. And the man I talked about, and Nelson Mandela said, my brother's coming on colors. The timing of Ali, it's remarkable too when you look at the exposure, Peter, of both of him and Pelé at a time where communication was minuscule. I mean, all you had was, you were talking about the grainy TVs, the radios, the telegraph. But I think sometimes, Peter, there's a beauty and a grandeur in radio because you see the penalty kick that Pelé made different from me in your mind than I do in mine. You know, it's like baseball. It's a vibe way back. The ball is in your mind. Is hit a little further. The imagination can just bring about a more grander, a more plentiful, and a more unique setting for what you can perceive it being.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Memory frames things in different ways for people. I was just going to say, Doc, I'm going to have to go shortly, but I just to take an opportunity to say a friend of mine passed away a couple of years ago, Hugh McIlvany.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably, for me anyway, the greatest sports writer in British history.
Yeah, I remember.
I believe he's the only boxing journalist, or was the first boxing journalist from the UK to be be inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in America. And he was an amazing guy, and a great honor for me to have known him and worked with him. But just one line I was thinking about when we were talking about Muhammad Ali. There was a press conference after Joe Bugner famously fought Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Bugner was being questioned by Hugh and other journalists. And Joe Bugner says, listen, get me anybody. I'll fight anybody tomorrow. I'll fight Jesus Christ. To which point Hugh McIlvany said to Joe Bugner, you're only saying that because you know he's got bad hands.
Peter, can you also talk briefly about your friend that you lost, John Fraser? We had him here, and we mentioned your friend too, the artist. Can you mention those two gentlemen for us for a moment or two before you leave?
Yeah, sure. John, his family came from Ghana originally, and we grew up together in the same area. We played rugby, we played football together. And he was just an amazing man. He passed away recently. And, you know, the nicest tributes to him are that people remember him for his courtesy, his respect for other people, and the way he touched so many lives. And do you know what? I guess if any of us can be remembered for that, we can ask for no more. My other friend you mentioned here, Amin Kassam,
yes.
I'm pleased to say he's still alive and well. And he's a very talented, aspiring artist. He was born in Tanzania. His family come from an Indian background. He was brought up in Scotland. He's a very, very diverse man. He has experienced many aspects of life. And at a late stage in his life, he's taken up painting many of the greats, particularly the African-American greats of music and sport. And his work's fantastic. And, I would say, look out for this guy. I believe he's going to be big news worldwide.
Yeah, we've displayed some of his work here. We'll continue to do it. Dr. Stanley's president of Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Well, once again, you not only hear from one of the intellects of our society, but an historian. Peter, it was something, this is a show I've long wanted to do, cannot convey in words the gratitude and the pleasure and the honor of having you on our show live. I finally figured out a way, by the grace of God, to get you here. Late birthday wishes to you. Muito saudade de você, meu irmão. You got to go, but I want to thank you for the time. Is there any last closing thoughts you'd like to give us before you leave, Peter?
Yeah, just to thank you, Doc. It's nice to speak to you. And, I'm sure your listeners are well aware of the fact, but you're a unique individual with a unique history. Your history stretches back over a considerable period of time. Hope you don't take that as an insult. your knowledge and experience of the greats of American sport and world sport, and particularly boxing, but not just boxing, baseball, American football, across all the board, you have a library of knowledge and experience that very few of us have, and I think your show is a great medium to bringing that voice, that knowledge to so many people. And also your donations to the Smithsonian Museum mean that long after your time on this planet and mine too, the memories of many of these greats will remain alive through you taking the time to document their great achievements. And, it's a pleasure to be on a show with you and all that you've achieved and the place that you have in sports history yourself. So all the best. Boa noite to yourself and all your listeners. Good night. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Peter. Love you. Thank you for the kind words. And like I said, down the line, but let's keep our time rolling for a while. Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth live from Fortaleza, Brazil. The state is here. And he told you, you learned it was the city that first abolished slavery. It also the state. And Peter's what it most. Peter, you've long been in the business too of the man who's brought some of the best football players into the game of football. And when we say football, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about NFL. We're talking about real football. So we want to salute you for the work you've done, and not only on the pitch, but you've done a lot off the pitch.
Well, that's kind of you to say so, Doc. Yep. All we can do is, our honor is how we treat other people, other men and other women. I believe that's the principle we should all try and live by. And if we can touch a few lives and improve them, we've spent some worthwhile time on the planet.
Yeah, Peter, can you also give us the title of your book that you wrote about Fortaleza?
Yeah, Fortaleza, Nasir de Sol, Port de Sol. So Fortaleza, from sunrise to sunset. It's a little book about the majesty of this wonderful place just under the equator, where it's always sempre verão, always summer.
Mm-hmm. Do me a favor, send me a picture of that on WhatsApp, because I want to put that up here too, along with your friends' pictures, because I've got my own copy. And, Peter is one of the intellects. Peter, I know you got to go. So, obrigado, Teodoro. Boa noite, minha irmã.
Meu prazer. Boa noite. My pleasure. Good night. Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to one of the true intellects. I mean, here's a guy and we also, he lost his mother a couple years ago. He's one of the top agents for the football players in Brazil. And he's just always doing so much for the, he doesn't know about some of the things he's done for other people. And you know, I am my brother's keeper, a great reader of books, a great just a scholar. And you know, he's befriended me, as few have. He's a friend. He's a brother. And then, you know, I tell you, right now they're going through a pandemic in Brazil, and the hotels had a time. Peter picked out a hotel, and then asked the hotel, could he bring in his own chef? Now, this means beyond the fact of him dining, he's created a job for somebody to have. I mean, that's a job that now in this pandemic somebody has. This is something that brings income to this particular person and his family, you know. And I'm looking forward to getting back to Peter. I'm hoping something tomorrow will delay me getting there next month, maybe to June. But we say happy birthday to him. You know, he has his birthday is the 21st, same as my granddaughter, Taylor, and my nephew, not 20th, my nephew, Majesty. Dr. Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government. I'm trying to get June one more time. If we can't, we're going to roll. Derek had to leave, but I wanted to get both of them. And these are conversations that you have on the phone. They say, Dad, we should be doing the show. So, we did a show, and we're still doing a show. And what we're going to do, too, I'm going to try to see if I can get June to join us. And then if not, we'll leave. But I'm pretty sure the educational impact injections by both Derek and for years I know Mac. I thought Maxie was his last name, was his nickname, first name. But Derek, and he's a longtime boxing connoisseur. I have him send that picture he had put up here too of him and Marvin Hagler, close friend of time. He told me a great story, so many stories. It was funny because back in the day. Sometimes Marion Boykins, his schedule wouldn't allow him to get down to the fights in Atlantic City. But in those days, they didn't check for ID and stuff. He went up and said, hey, Marion Boykins. So I saw him and said, hey, what you doing? Hey, Doc, hey, man, you going? No, I'm looking for hey, hey, hey. You know what? Come on. Just go over there, tell him Marion Boykins. And he went over there. And, you know, it got so two or three times, you know, they said, oh, how you doing, Marion? And during that, you know, he has a long-standing friendship with a lot of guys in the Kronk Gym, the famous legendary Kronk Gym, Emmanuel Stewart, Mark Breland, Tommy Hearns, a champion in a game of boxing outside the square circle. Sam Cooke plays a little music for us.
Wonderful, God is so wonderful. He's wonderful. God, he's so wonderful.
Wonderful.
The Lord is my shepherd, he's my guide. Whatever I need, the Lord will provide and praise my Lord's name. I know he. My father, come down and make a way. And I can't help but love God. He's so wonderful. And he's a yes, he is. And I know the man is wonderful. Just he is. There's no limit to what my Lord can do. And I love God. He's so wonderful.
You're listening to Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. The Doc Stanley in a Box, where we rope the rumors, call tidy issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
A little bit of Diana Ross. Diana Ross, you know, first debut was nominated for Oscar. In the Hall of Fame as a female solo artist, the greatest female singing group of all time. Across the board for the Temptations, Anna was. Female singing groups history Motown. Diana Ross, Mary Wilson, Eddie's crew, Hendrix, Paul Williams, Otis Williams.
To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true.
You've been trying so hard to come. father asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. What I do. Because you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I.
The other day I was listening to this country, not a country, but a folk song. Let's listen to it. It was just, it was on the money. As we talking about the Black Lives Matter and civil rights, and hey, listen to it. I just thought it was, I liked it. And I think it kind of has a message to it.
Glorified, and we're with him, and we see, oh, that was your plan all along, Lord.
Don't like taking prisoners in their private little wars. Behind their broken badges, there are murderers and more. Oh, here's to the land you've carved out the heart of. Mississippi, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the judges of Mississippi.
No one sees the sights and no one hears the sounds. And the speeches of the gods.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words just barely visible: "In God we trust." I held it a moment, then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living.
It's changed, right? The coach is
without
the master's
hand.
And where there's no hair there.
God we trust. We're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust. And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust."
Man make them toys, and after man make everything.
know that man makes money to buy from other men. This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, not one little thing without a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost in bitterness.
James Brown says it all. It's Women's Month, and you got to know, if there's no lady, bottom line, ain't nothing happening. And you should all treat you, all your women, you should treat her like a queen. We're treated by some of the best ones ever crooned. Dinah Adams, my favorite piece of work done by her. We played the Queen, Aretha Franklin, Queen of Hip Hop. And now, it's over my heart. All our hearts should be. Dr. Tanny Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Trust the Girl. Now, we're getting ready to go. Play this music though before we end the show. It's one of the most. Bounds just tell you how important they are. Played James Brown. I said, you know, you never saw James Brown. I was pleasant. I guess got to meet Mr. Brown personally. Ray Charles, maybe Fox edition of him. Or Ray Charles. He's buzzing up. Fox Tech Radio, trust him.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good Doc.
And Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way, and I know the ladies wouldn't have it any other way.
I just question, who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Are they gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
To blame.
We can't stop
living. We can't stop living.
So,
let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, the blood feels. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good doctor.
You know, every day is a learning experience, and you know, I thought Maxie was a, he's joined us back. Well, he left us. Okay, I thought he was going to come back and join us again. Let me try to get him. As I get my favorite combination of singing and musical group, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Dr. J's favorite group, Dr. J is supposed to be Blog Talk Radio, Hustlin' God Red Network. We're about ready to go. And listen to this before we end the show. Hey, you gotta run. Come on. Oh. You wanna come back real quick again? Call back on. Yeah, call back on.
ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Sammy. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Sammy.
Family Stanley Sports Posse is on special. This special is every dog is honored by the renowned intellectual agent, author, and pride of Scotland, Sir Peter McLean, and one of boxing's foremost authorities and boxing's class acts, Eric Mackey. And we also say he was sent in prayers to the loss of his brother-in-law. On this segment, Sports in Depth, a award-winning show that diverges from both a daily historical perspective, not only on of our times, but two of the players, performers, events of both now and yesteryear. Thank you for joining us once again. We'll always go up the rumors, talk to the issues, and bring the truth. Aretha Franklin says, the rough side of the mountain that's easy to climb, because on the smooth side of the mountain, there's nothing to hold on to. Doc Sammy, brought to the Blog Talk Radio, that's the Guy Red Network. Yeah, Matt, got you back here for a minute. Your last thoughts here as we close out on this segment. You know, so much boxing going on. Some last thoughts, Matt.
Well, hopefully after this pandemic we're going through, boxing will be back to the same. But I definitely look forward to that Holyfield Tyson 3. I think that's going to be the biggest fight out of all of them.
It's no question about it. But the point is,
you know,
can we really think they're going to be able to, you know, will it ever be the same again? Do you really think that we got a chance with that?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Because the bigger the fight, the more people, you know. And that's the thing now. Everybody's scared of the super spreader. So I don't know. I think we're going to have these masks on for the next two, the 3 years.
And you know what? I can tell you something, Mac, that we've kind of not looked at. With the deterioration of boxing, only a Holyfield-Tyson fight is going to bring back some of the glamour of yesteryear. But when they leave the ring, boxing is going to fall even further down.
Possibly, yeah. Correct.
You know, I mean, the game is just not the same. And the fact...
No, it's not.
Well, this is a double-edged sword, that a Tyson-Holyfield can supplant, leap over anything that can possibly put together now in this era of boxing.
Right.
Which is a testament to their greatness. But, you know, what does it say about the game? I mean, you know, you look at how great Bernard Hopkins was and
correct.
The things that he did. But at the same time, you know, do you think a guy, you know, back in the day of Tommy and Ray and Duran and Hagler and all these, do you think a guy in his 40s could have not only competed but have been champion?
Yeah, you're right.
Think about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just don't see the game. I mean, it was on a downhill spiral anyway. The pandemic, I think, is going to take it even more to a downhill spiral. And I was talking with a guy the other day. He was just saying this. Like, Lady A, she's the foremost female authority ever of this sport. And she said she doesn't even watch boxing no more. You know what I mean? Only yourself and Dusty, the connoisseur, the genius, you do it out of respect for the game, out of the fact that, you know, you can always learn something new and you want to stay abreast. But I think you don't have the hunger or the interest. It's just that it's your intellect and respect for the game that allows you to continue to pursue it the way you do. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's totally accurate. Loving the sport and that, you know, in the game, and time will tell, I guess. Time will tell.
Yeah. And then
that's the only way to put that.
We're never going to have, and it's sad to hear about the passing, but they're not going to be any more Marvin Hagler's.
No.
You know what I mean? You know, they're not going to be any more Leon Spinks, who people don't realize his impact on the game, because Leon and I told him, Leon, you know, you made 4 heavyweight champions. You know, when you didn't go back and adhere to the mandatory with Kenny Norton in Fort Ali, which was anybody else thinking it was the common thing to do. First of all, from a respectful standpoint of view, you know, you had to give the man the shot who gave you the shot, you know?
Right.
And then the next thing is, where else are you going to make the most money? I mean, you're fighting and boxing for 2 things, money and the title. You got the title. Now go get the money. You know,
who's
going to get more money fighting Ali, or are you going to get more money fighting Kenny Norton? And in the turn of events, and like I always say, that great thing biblically, if Joseph's brothers don't sell him into slavery, he don't become the most powerful man in the country and outside the king, who frees not only his people, but his immediate family. I mean, and now Spinks fights Ali. So he became champion. Now Ali becomes champion again. They give the WBC belt to Kenny Norton. Now he becomes champion. And then Larry Holmes beats Kenny Norton, and he becomes champion.
Right. Yankee Stadium.
And I remember we sit there with him and Slim and their wives, and they said, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
And it's true. And not only that, historically and realistically, Leon Spinks is the only man to beat Muhammad Ali and take his title in the ring.
Wow.
That's
right.
Up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Leon
right.
Spinks is the only man to take Muhammad's title from him in the ring.
Wow. Leon.
Remember? Because he was stripped of the title. No man ever took the title away from Muhammad Ali in the ring, except Leon Spinks, who along with his brother are still the only 2 brothers to win both a gold medal in the same Olympics and to also
world champions,
become heavyweight champions of the world. And Slim, the first man ever to win the heavyweight championship of the world as a light heavy.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right, Mike. Yeah, Mike was. Yeah. The,
yeah, he's the first.
Oh, wow.
He's the, light heavyweight champion. Member of the night, Grambling Plan Morgan at the old Yankee Stadium. The legendary Dr. J was honored. Got a chance to talk to Coach Robinson, you know, who told me and Coach used to like to tell jokes, and he told this one about a pastor had this deep sermon about the perfect man. And then in closing, he said, "Now I asked after this sermon, is any man out there who feels he's a perfect man?" And about a couple of seconds or so, this guy stands up, man. And, the pastor says, "My brother, after listening to the sermon and the qualities and the necessity of the perfect man, do you feel you are the perfect man?" He said, "Pastor said, I'm not standing up for me." He says, "I'm standing up for my wife's ex-husband."
Wow. Perfect man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Dr. Sandy's wasn't the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust Government. Max, some last thoughts before we leave today.
Well, I think everybody should just get vaccinated and get it over with. So you get your first shot, and then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, you get your second, and just be done with it.
What's your thoughts on the one-shot vaccine?
I'm not too familiar with it, but I know that's the Johnson & Johnson. I got the
Pfizer. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I had the Pfizer, so I take my next one on the 6th of April.
Okay, okay.
Which would be the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving us a card. I have a COVID card. So I think that eventually that's what it's going to come down to. We have to show this card everywhere we go. I think eventually that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah,
because, yeah. Well, you're being tracked to a certain degree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Historically, yeah. Peter told us, the state of CI was the first state in Brazil to abolish slavery, and Fortaleza, Redenção, was the first city.
Right.
The first city in Brazil to release the slaves, and he said there are some houses you can see where they were tortured, and as you can see in the African-American Smithsonian Museum. Dr. Stanley's watching that Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network, and Max, who do you like in Tyson Holyfield 3?
That's a tough one. Evander is going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I give Mike a shot, but I think Mike and Rooney is a more dangerous combination than any other trainer he can get, my opinion. I think he just was a different kind of fighter with Rooney in his corner.
Oh, there's no question
more
about
aggressive.
That. No, and we talked
about
that earlier.
Strength. Right. It wasn't about Bruce strength. It was about skill, combinations. Mike is a totally different fighter.
And also was about what we talked about, Rooney knowing the system. You know, hold on. 1-2-7-9, you know, 8-6. We do that for three rounds. Then we go to 2-4-8-6. You know, he knew the system.
Correct.
And as a system, Max, not only did Tyson know, but he trusted.
That's right. Yeah. I've seen the difference. Yeah, Mike is definitely totally different.
It was a system, too, that he trusted. He trusted.
Right.
Closing out with a couple of thoughts. I always do Doc Stanley's words of wisdom, but we're going to close with the one I love of the ones that Peter sent me by Aretha. It's the rough side of the mountain that's the easiest to climb. The smooth side doesn't have anything for you to hold on to. And then Elton John, whose birthday is today, too. All life is precious, and every day's a prize. Doc Stanley, sponsored at Blog Talk Radio, the Trusted Guard Red Network. Derek, thanks a lot, man. This is something I wanted to do for a long time. I'm going to have you back here, part of the posse. Thanks for being with us. Again, our prayers are simply with you in the loss of your beloved mother-in-law, and we thank you so much for what you brought to this show and what you bring to us all. God bless you, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. All right, take care, Doc.
Okay, Doc Sandy, sports at Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Glory Network. and my man Derek. Yeah, for a long time I thought Max. You really, you know, he wasn't here when I told him the story about he was marrying Boykin, but he just like I said, down in Atlantic City back in the old days, marrying was really sometimes you couldn't make it. And I remember first I was like, hey Doc, hey man, we're called Mel, the yoga Mel, you know, like Art Russ never called me Doc Stanley, called me Melvin Doc Stanley. And I'm like, so Matt said, no, Grover and Marion Brooke. And he just, you know, it got to, remember, Max, it got to the time, walked up, they said, hey, how you doing, Marion?
yeah, that's how bad it gets. Yeah, don't you were lying about that.
Got the point,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Hey, Marion, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
It's a great time. Thanks a lot, Max. Love you, baby. Trust in God. Bye now.
All right, trust in God. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, friend. And we're going to leave now, and I'm going to play a little something that but we've been doing ladies here. I'm going to close out when you talk about great. We played Queen Latifah, Diana Ross, Aretha, whose birthday is today, Yolanda Adams. And, you know, when you talk about the – let's do my little Lupazillion promo, too, for you. Hang on. Here we go. Come on.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço. Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Say that to my crew out there, Vladimir, my Pie Rangel, Tony Nunez, Papa Noel. We close out in Women's Month for a lady who has such, had a profound effect on Black history. And holiday song depicting the hanging of black men and bodies on trees. I close out with the song that my mother, my queen, my first lady, Llewellyn.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Yeah. And we Doc Stanley Sr. and his sports posse. In this special segment, Doc is honored as the renowned intellect football agent, Vital Scotland. One of boxing's foremost authorities and boxing's class act, the doctor. On this in-depth informative education on the circle of roller sports, renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports In Depth. A version for both a daily historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective, not only because of our times, but two of the players and performers that act, both now and of yesteryear. Sports In Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports mental health perspective, not just as athletics, because it takes raw, God-given talent, conditioning, who takes a God-blessed mind, fueled with passion, determination, intellect, is a competing and accomplishing too. With in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, Doc's iconic posse forces to the world's in-depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, talk out issues, find the truth. We also send our prayers and sympathy to Derek and family in the passing of his beloved mother-in-law. We also remember Peter's longtime dear friend, John Fraser, who passed a couple of months ago. It's a rough side of the mountain that's easiest to climb. True side doesn't have anything for you to hang on to. You can never find a person on just one thing. You get all the wonderful and good things that a person has done because one thing didn't come off where you thought it should. Aretha Franklin. All life is precious. Every day it's a prize. Elton John. Birthday is today. Doc Stanley, Sports at the Block Talk Radio. Boston Guard Radio Network. Sports In Depth on Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Thanks for being us once again, and from the bottom of my heart, I bless you all. Trust in God. Keep Mike Bellamy's other in your prayers, too. Thank you. Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Boston Guard Radio Network.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports In Depth on Blog Talk Radio.